get married, and the laws of nature take their course, and Baruch Hashem, Yiddish Kinderlach are born. That's all very well, but there's a run-of-the-mill neshama. There are some hecher neshamas, higher neshamas. Who is zoicha to have a child with a hecher neshama? The person who is mispalel. The more one is mispalel, the more likely it is for the child to have a very high neshama, destined for great things. And that explains, says the Malbim, why the Ribbono Shel Olam made Avraham and Sarah akoros. Because if you don't have children, what does the Elohim do? Mispalel. And to have a child in the Shomer like Yitzchok, it won't happen unless the tefillah precedes it. And the same applies to Yitzchok. When the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Yitzchok to have a son like Yaakov, what did he do? He made them childless so that they were mispalel. And it's the tefillah which is the hachana for a higher type of neshama. Yaakov had 12 sons. Now how many of these were outstanding? There was Yosef HaTzadik, Binyamin HaTzadik, and Yisachar. Yisachar was a pillar of Torah. Rachel and Yaakov were married for 6 years, and she had no children. She was desperate. She was mispalel. Naftur Elohim Niftalti, she twisted her body in her efforts of tefillah. As a result of that, was Yosef HaTzadik. And then, for another 8 years, she did not have another child. Again, she put tremendous tefillah into this child, and who was born? Binyamin HaTzadik. Who was the outstanding Talmud Chacham? Yisachar. How did that happen? Leah had 4 children, one after the other. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Then it says, "Vatamoit mi ledes." Then she had no more children. So what did she do? She was spalled. And the next one was Yisachar, the Amud HaTorah. Everything depends on its hachona, on the preparation. There's a Gemara in Perek HaSoichas HaPoyalim, where the Gemara says that Reb Chiya wanted to make sure that the Torah would not be forgotten. So what did he do? He planted linseed. When the linen grew, he wove it into nets. Then he went into the jungle, spread out his nets, and he caught deer. He shechted the deer, he fed the meat to Yosoimim, and on the skin he wrote Hamisha Chumshe Torah and Shisho Sidra Mishnah, and he taught these Yosoimim who he was feeding, and when he taught them, he said one teach the other. So one he taught Bereshis, and the Bereshis boy taught his friend, and the Shemois boy taught his friend, and the same with Shisho Sidra Mishnah. And in this way, he assured that Torah should have a continuity. So the question is obvious. You need a Chumash. Go into the bookstore. You need a Mishnah? Go into the bookstore. Yeah, you can do that. But if you don't put an effort into it, the results will not be so good. So by starting from scratch, by making the nets to catch the deer, and tan the skins to write, and he did the writing, all this went into the preparation of his teaching. And that is why his teaching was so successful. As a result, the Torah continued into the next generation. At the end of Sedra V'Yakel, the Torah says that the Kiyor V'Chanoi was made Mimarois Hatzovois, Asher Tzovu Pesach Oil Moed, from the mirrors of the women who congregated at the entrance of the Oil Moed. What did they congregate there for? What was the point of these good ladies congregating at the Pesach Oil Moed? The Targum says one word, Litzalo'o, to daven. Ah, davening in the Mok of Kodesh is a good idea. So they congregated at the Pesach Oil Moed to daven. What did they daven for? I'll tell you what they didn't daven for. They didn't daven for Parnosa. Who needs a Parnosa in that you've got the Mon coming down, you've got the Mayim, what else do you want? Clothing? They took plenty of garments out of Mitzrayim, and the Ananiah Kovah did the dry cleaning for them and washed them. Their shoes never wore out. So what do these women need? You know what the answer is? Elech HaKinder. They wanted children, Talmid HaChachomim Yerei Shemayim. So what do? Asher Tzobu Pesach Oel Moed. They congregated the Pesach Oel Moed. That's where they daven for children of outstanding qualities in Torah and Yiras Shemayim. Now yesterday, we learned about the Korban Omer. Now today, of course, is the Sfeik de Yomer of yesterday, isn't it? Am I right or am I wrong? L'may daf gemina. No. L'may daf gemina, that's today's Sfeik de Yomer of yesterday. L'gabe v'yisof chodosh. The yisof chodosh ended last night in Eretz Yisrael. But wherever you keep 2 days Yontif, the Yisof Chodosh is still in practice now. And it won't end till 8:20 this evening. It's the Sfeik de Yomer of Chodosh. Now, what we learned yesterday about the Omer is very interesting. Rav Duna, Olav HaShalom, points out there are a number of difficulties in this parsha. First of all, the Hevesem is Omer Reishis Ketzir Chemel HaKoyen. The Korban is called the Korban Omer. Now, everywhere else in the Torah is called Asiris Oifo, or Nisoroi, for short. But Omer, no. And here it says, Omer Reishis Ketzir Chemel HaKoyen. Then there's another peculiarity. There's tenufa. Now, normally, a korban mincha does not have tenufa. And the Torah says, and it continually repeats the meaning of tenufa. In fact, in the Mishnah, it's called Yom Henef, the day of the tenufa, which you don't find with other korbanos. Another strange point is this. With a Omer, you bring a Keves Tomim Ben Shnosai La'Oilo La'Shem. Now, a Keves, if it's an Oilo, is always brought with a Korban Mincha. And this Mincha is how much? An Isorai. Uminchosai Shnei Esrainim. Ma Pitom. Why double? And it goes on to say, there's always a Nesach with the Korban Mincha. And for a Keves, the Nesach is Revi Yisahin. So no change. But the flour is double the normal. What's happened here? So he says the following, Biur. as we said, in the Midbar, the moon came down in the Shemayim. Could anybody be so stupid as thinking this is Teva? Nobody's that mishuga. If the moon comes down every morning from heaven, that's obvious this is the Yad Hashem. But this is not going to be forever. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to till the land, and we'll put our efforts into making things grow, and they grow. Aha! There's a fear of koichi ve'otzem yodi now. People tend to forget. Yes, the farmer says, I put all my effort into it, but without the Ribbono Shel Olam, where would you be? So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want this to happen. So he said, yes, you put your effort, your work into it, but what grows is osa. You cannot eat it until you've brought the Korban Omer. Now what is the Korban Omer? Omer? Wait a minute, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Not a serious wife, an Omer. Ah yes, I remember now, Omer Lagulgoyles. It reminds you of the Korban, of the Mon in the Midbar. And just as the man in the Midbar, nobody said Koichi Yotzem Yodi, in the same way, when I permit you to eat from your Koichi Yotzem Yodi, from your efforts, after the Hakrovas of the Korban Oimer, and the Oimer is called Oimer, not the Asiris Oifer, it's called the Oimer to remind you, just the Oimer of Mon was totally Min HaShemayim. So now, Mr. Farmer, remember, you put your effort into it. The result is Min HaShemayim. And that is why this Korban needs Tanufa. Tanufa, says the Gemara in Sukkah, up and down, back, forward, right, left. The Ribbono Shel Olam is everywhere. So to remind us that the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is everywhere, causes our grain to grow, that is a lesson to the farmer. And finally, why was it Minchoso Shnei Esroinim? To remind you, says Rav Duna, Olav HaShalom, that on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, there was a double supply of mon. So all these things were to remind the farmers of the days in the Midbar, where everything is Min HaShemayim, Nesim, Giluyim. Now, we're living in Eretz Yisrael, is Nisim Nistorim. But remember, it is Nisim. It's not your Koichi Yotzem Yodi, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's Brocha of Hatzlocha. Now let us turn to this morning's Kriyas HaTorah. Pasuk says, "Hayoyim atem yoytzim v'chodesh ha'aviv." Today, you are leaving Mitzrayim in the month of spring. Now, what is the point of the being the month of spring? So Rashi says, "V'chiloi hoyinu yoydem v'ezer chodesh yotzu." Did these people have to be told now in the middle of the month of Nisan? Elokach omalahem, re'u. Chesed shegomalchem. See the kindness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you. Shehoitzi esem b'chodesh u'kosher lotzeis. He has taken you out in a month where traveling is easy. Loi chamo, it's not too hot. Veloi tzino, it's not too cold. Veloi geshomim, and it's not raining. Just right for traveling. V'cheinu aymer moitzi asirim b'chesherois. Apostle in Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the prisoners b'koshoros, which means chodesh shu kosher lotzeis. It's a month just right for travelers. Superficially we understand this. If you think about it a little more deeply, it doesn't make any sense. The Yidden had suffered Avoidas Perach for over 100 years. Cruel Egyptian taskmasters. Mental cruelty. They made men do the jobs of women and women do the tasks of men. If you've been subjected to that, what are you looking for? You're looking for chayrus, freedom. Does it make one iota of difference what the weather was? Not at all. As long as you're out of this hell, that's all that counts. The weather at that particular time is of no consequence. Yes, if you're planning a teal today, yes, then the weather makes a difference. But if you've been suffering avodas perach for over 100 years, the weather won't make any difference. Now, I'll give you a moshel. When I was teaching the Hasmonean, we were honored by a visit from a man called Yosef Mendelovich, who Rav Kupa, Zolzayn Gezun, entitled Rabbi Yosef Mendelovich. When somebody asked him, but he didn't learn Yoredea, he didn't have a smicha for the hair, why give him a title Rebbe? So he says, a Rebbe in Mesiras Nefesh. You don't have to learn Yoredea Chelik Rishon and be fahed on it to have the title of Rebbe. If you've got Mesiras Nefesh like Yosef Mendelovich, bista eichda Rebbe. Actually, it's often a Gemara. The Gemara tells us a story about a Rosha Gomur, Eleza ben Durdai. He spent a fortune on doing Averis. That was his hobby. Then he did Tshuva. And Tshuva, with a capital Tov, he died of a broken heart. Yotzo Baskol v'Ovro, Ashrei Rebbe Eleza ben Durdai, Shemuchen Loilem Abo. He's going straight in to Gan Eden. Bocho Rebbe, V'Omer Yeshkoino Eloma B'Shoachas, V'Loyoid Ela Shekorin Oysa Rebbe. So you see, you can be a Rebbe if you teach Klal Yisrael something. It doesn't have to be Yoredea, it can be Mesiras Nefesh, it can be Tshuva, whatever you're a Rebbe in, you're a Rebbe. So, this Rabbi Yosef Mendelovich, 12 years Nebuch, in solitary confinement. And then one day, they released him from prison and drove him to Moscow Airport and a flight to freedom. Do you think anybody ever asked him what the weather was like on that day? Mind off, give me as long as I get out of this hell. Who cares what the weather's like? And yet, the Torah stresses that when we were taken out of this hell of Mitzrayim, it was lovely weather, spring, Machaya. Well, what are we being taught here? I'll tell you what we're being taught, Rabbi Sai. Let us imagine that Hakoros HaToiv has a scale from 1 to 100. Now, where on this scale would you see a Mitzrayim come in? It would go on at number 100. The gratitude we have to Kodesh Baruch Hu for taking us out of the Golus Mitzrayim, the Avodas Perach, registers 100 on the scale. And on how far up the scale does the weather count? Possibly might hit number 1. Might do, not sure. What the Torah is telling us is, if you've got an Issa, some Issur Mabotel Baroiv, some Beshishim, some Meo, some Mosayim, Hakoros HaToiv knows no beetle. The bigger Hakoros HaToiv cannot swallow up the smaller one. You have to be grateful to the bunch of whatever he gives you. If he gives you something 100 on the scale, Yetzias Mitzrayim, gratitude. And if on the same at the same time there's something which measures 1 on the scale, you have to show your gratitude. There's no bittul. The Gemara says quite clearly, it's a Pesach Dike Inyan. Kach also Hillel, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kaim, Hoya Koirach, Pesach, Matzah, Moira, Umore, Voichlam, Yachad. What does that tell us? Mitzvahs, Eidem, Abatli, Suesu. With the mitzvahs, there's no bitul. One doesn't swallow up the other, it doesn't cancel out. Each mitzvah has its place. And they say, HaKoros HaToivas HaMitzvah. And just as we have to have HaKoros HaToiv, which measures 100 on the scale for Yetzias Mitzrayim, we also, in addition, have to have HaKoros HaToiv for the fact the weather was pleasant. And this idea, we see, we learn it from Rochel Imenu. Rochel said to Yaakov, Hovoli vonim vim ayin mesa onoichi. Either I have children or I'd rather be dead. The tsar of not having a child, Rochel equated it with death. And the Gemara says, Befirish, arbo chashuvim kanes. One of them is, Mishein Rabbanim. Okay, so as we said, after a great amount of filler, Rochel was blessed with a son. Now, what did she say when this son was born? Osaf Elohim Ischer Posi. The Bojab has removed my embarrassment. And Rashi says, V'agodo, calls man she'ein lisho bein, as long as the woman doesn't have a child, ein la b'mi litloy sir choyno, she's got nobody to blame for her shortcomings. Mishi yesh la ben, toilet boy. But if she has a child, she can put the pass the buck, as they say in English. Mi shova keli zeh, the husband comes back from work, hey, where's my favorite cup which I drink, from which I drink my tea? The little boy, the little girl smashed it. Mi ochal tein emelu. I was looking forward to eating these figs for my afters. Where are they gone? The little boy, the little girl, saw them and took a liking and snaffled a lot. So, this is now an exercise in passing the buck. If a woman doesn't have a child, she takes the blame. Who broke it? Who ate it? What can she say? But if she's got a baby, the baby did it. Now the voice, I ask you, this pleasure, this advantage of passing the buck, how big does it measure on the scale of death? Not having a child is death. So obviously, when Rabbi Shem reprieves her from the death sentence and gives her a son, her praise and thanks to Rabbi Shem must go to the skies. And this passing the buck bit about who broke the cup, where does this measure on the scale? Yes, it does. There's no bittul. Of course, the Trias HaMesim needs Gewalt, Gewalt, HaKoros HaToiv. But the fact that there's another benefit, the buck passing benefit, cannot be ignored. It's a ganze halbe posen teil. Yosaf Elohim Ischer Posi. This tiny little bit of benefit needs, demands, HaKoros HaToiv. Who in Tanakh is described as an Isho Gedoyla? The Shunamis. The Shunamis is described as an Isho Gedoyla. Why? What did she do to earn that title? Today everybody's a Rav, a Gon, a Tzaddik, a Chvaisvus. But in the times of Tanakh, the writers of Tanakh were not today's scribes. If the Novi, who wrote Sefer Melachim, was Yirmiyahu HaNovi, I'm sure he didn't hand out titles like to today's people. If he says Isha Gedoyla, she must have been a Gedoyla. So the Porsche Pshat is Hachnosas Olchin. By the way, wasn't Shunamis, was she a Jewish lady or not? You think she was? What's the proof? She built a loft extension. She was an Isha Gedoyla Nachnosa Salchim. But Pashtus is I. But Pashtus is not always the best view. I personally think she was called the Isha Gedoyla for two other reasons. The first is this. We talk about Rochel and Trias HaMesim. Her son, one and only son, died at an early age, and to cut a long story short, the Novi did Trias HaMesim. So what did she do? The Trias HaMesim took place up in the loft, and she was downstairs, and Elisha told Gehazi, call the Shunamis, and she comes up the stairs, and he says, "I espenech, pick him up, take him, he's alive." So what did she do? She threw herself at the feet of the Novi, and then picked up the child. What's the pshat? The pshat is hakoras hatoiv. She had to show her gratitude to the Novi for Trias HaMesim. Words failed her. How can you say thank you, Rab Novi Leim, for the Trias HaMesim, my one and only child? How can you say that? Words failed her. So what did she do? She threw herself at the feet of the Novi. She couldn't say the words, so she expressed hakoras hatoiv with an action. And then, having been yotze that, she took the child. Now, the boy sighed. This is not human reaction. If this woman sees her child, first of all, dead, stone dead, and then the Novi makes Trias HaMesim, she should rush over to him, hug him and cuddle and kiss him and cry her eyes out of simcha. Oh yes, we have to say thank you to Novi. That would be the normal human reaction, and that she did not react in that way. For her, hakoras hatoiv is more important than all human emotions. And for a person to overcome human emotions and be makir toiv, to express her gratitude, that's gadlus. And I heard that there's another reason why she was called Isha Gedoyla. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Samach Gimel and Aleph, that if a person does a mitzvah kema'amora, as it should be, he's got the koyach to be mabatla gzeira ro. But what does a mitzvah kema'amora mean? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, it means totally lishma, of a totally legamra lishma. And if you're doing this mitzvah because you know the Rabbein Shem rewards tzaddikim in olam haba, that's not lishma. Lishma means totally and purely, without thinking even of Gan Eden. Now, this Shunamis had been married a long time. Her husband was getting on in years. The Novi was very impressed with her Hafnosa Solchim, especially the loft extension. So he said, the Novi said, I've got to do something for this woman. I can't just accept her Hachnosa Sochim without repaying it. I've also got a Hakoras HaToiv. So he said to her, what can I do for you? Dave Alech El HaMelech, or El Sarat Tzvo, do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the army? What was her answer? B'soich Ami Onoichi Yoshobes. I need nothing on earth. What a liar she was. She desperately wanted a child. But why did she not say so? Because she wanted her Hachnosas Orchim to be 100% purely lishma. As soon as she gets something out of it, a kal v'chaim, if it's a child she's been longing for many years, then there's no more total lishma. She wanted to continue her Hachnosas Orchim, her mitzvah, totally lishma, and that's why she told this whopping big lie to the Novi, I lack nothing. Gehazi told the Novi that she needs a Yeshua, but she herself wouldn't say it, because she wanted to continue her mitzvah lishma, and I believe that is why she's called an Isha Gedoyla.